Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Sean?
Today, I thought we could continue our, like, timely topics that we seem to have been doing the last couple of episodes.
It's been a habit, hasn't it?
It has been a habit, but I kind of like it. Like, it's, you know, tis the season type thing.
Not that our listeners have to listen to our episodes in order or when they come out, but...
No, but I'm assuming some people do, so let's keep that going. Sure. So today's episode was inspired because I recently had a friend, or let's say it's a friend of a friend, had a friend of a friend who is currently waiting the results of a Lyme disease blood test.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
So I thought we could talk about, not specifically Lyme disease, but I thought we could talk about ticks in general. Ticks are a hot topic. You and I bring them up quite a bit. We have had a separate episode about bugs and bug repellent, but we never specifically focused on ticks. So I thought we could do one about tick prevention, tick diseases, what to do if you get bit, how to watch out for them, what to look for, that sort of stuff. Everything tick related. When it comes
to little fuckers are going to be getting pretty active.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I guess if we're getting into it, let's get into it. But so, like, ticks are, generally speaking, especially where we're at, spring to fall. Basically, like, if it's above freezing.
Which is where we're at.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, this is the time that the creepy crawlies are going to start coming out for the year. And ticks are one of those creepy crawlies. So,
yeah, where do you want to start with this one? Do you,
man, I don't really know.
We're so prepared.
I know. Well, so let's talk about where ticks are. I mean, not geographically, because I think at this point, at least all over North America, they're pretty much freaking everywhere. But let's talk about, like, generally speaking, where you're going to find ticks. So you're going to find ticks in, like, grassy or woody or brush-covered areas. More so than, like, not so much in, like, a freshly manicured lawn. Or, you know, like if it's like what you would consider an overgrown brush type area.
Right.
That's where ticks are going to like to hang out.
Right. Yeah. Nothing that's manicured or, you know, cut all the time, anything like that. But this, we mentioned one of the trails we went on last year was definitely not a very well traversed trail because it was very overgrown in certain areas. And my number one concern were ticks, like when we were cutting through all of that. And
spoiler alert, we found some ticks.
No, that one we did. Did we? Okay, yeah. I was going to say, I couldn't remember if we did or didn't that trip.
Yeah, because that was the one, remember, when we were in the parking lot before we even set out, people were coming back in and saying how bad the ticks were, and then we got back to the car,
that's right.
And the people that stayed at the other lake were talking about how bad the ticks were. We found some. We just didn't find what you and I consider a lot.
Right. Yeah. We found, yeah, a handful, yeah. But not a ton.
Yeah.
We had encountered worse. But see, I mean, yeah, it's if you are on a trail and a little bit off of the trail, there's overgrowth. Ticks are probably there.
Yep.
Stay on the trail. Stay on the middle. That's why we always say, not the only reason we say that, but stay to the middle of the trail, and you've got a better chance of avoiding them.
And explain. Yeah, let's take a second to explain why that is. Like, for anybody that doesn't know, I'm going to say it's how ticks hunt, but I don't know if hunting is the right word to use.
Right. Yeah. How they prey or how they, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, they climb up lower level elevation or not elevation vegetation, to get out to the edge of a leaf or a branch or something. They get on their little hind legs and stick their front little crawlies out, yep, and grabbers out. And then anything that brushes past them, they just grab on, yep, and go for a ride.
Right. Literally waiting there for something to brush up against the tall grass or the bush or whatever it is they're on. They literally, yep, climb to the tippy top edge of that and put their, yep, little feelers out, waiting to grab the first thing that goes by.
Yeah. I usually am more concerned about like knee and waist height brush. I'm not, it's stuff that's taller. It usually don't run into brush along the trail that's taller than that anyway.
But I don't agree.
That's usually, no.
Well, I mean, I do agree with what you're saying. Like, I agree, like, waist and knee high is what I also look out for. Yeah. I don't agree that that's all you run into is on the trail. Like, remember when we were up in Pictured Rocks, that trail leading back to the parking lot, it was like shoulder high. We were walking through with our arms up in the air.
That, yeah, okay, yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah,
like, I think vegetation definitely gets higher than waist or knee high.
Yeah,
I think true. I think the ticks primarily do the near waist high stuff. Right,
yeah, I think that's where the majority of the wildlife that they're mainly catching a ride on,
yeah,
are,
yeah,
going to be at. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've evolved to learn that they go so high and that's where they're going to catch a meal.
I say that not being a scientist and leaving room for being wrong.
Right, do your own research. Gotta get that out there. We're not professionals.
But yeah, but like Mike said, you know, stay in the middle of the trail. If the overgrown brush is to the outside of the trail, staying in the middle should help keep,
right,
more ticks off.
If it's
off
a wider,
you,
trail.
Yeah.
Yeah. If, yeah, we've encountered the barely a foot, like, or I guess a human foot width.
Yes.
Wide trail, yeah, and you're just stepping on that and you're just, everything's getting brushed up against you and everything. Sometimes you can't avoid it.
Right.
It's just unavoidable, but do what you can. I mean, that's where you and I, that's where our duct tape trick comes into play and things like that. We try to just use that to prevent getting them all over us. They usually get stuck on the duct tape and then we've got a collection of ticks.
Okay, so let's get into that then. So you, okay, mentioned the duct tape thing, but let's talk about prevention. Like, what are, for people going out that don't want to get all ticky, what are, right, some good ways that we can recommend to prevent ticks?
The most recent one that you and I found is the permethrin.
Yeah.
Spray. We've doused our, I doused my tent. The new tent I haven't, but the old tent and all of my clothing that I typically wear on the trail, I soaked mm-hmm. or sprayed down with permethrin. And realistically, I think that really helped because the last time we were out there, really didn't see a whole lot of activity or evidence of it. Again, I don't really see them when we're on the trail, so I don't know how many it avoided.
Yeah, I know.
But
right. Well, that's the thing. Like, we don't have, like, again, we're not scientists, so we don't have, like, the control group and then the test group and which ones do ticks prefer. So we don't have, like, the
right.
A
neither
and B
one
test.
Of us, neither one of us are willing to not try the new method. Like, you don't do anything, I'll get, yeah, all deed it off.
Yeah, right. But so, yeah, so I think permethrin for sure, right? Like, I, again, don't have the like B test or the placebo test, but right. like I think the permethrin works. The internet also agrees and thinks that the permethrin right. works. So I feel comfortable recommending that.
Right.
Obviously permethrin you can't use on your skin. So
right.
my tried and true DEET, love me yep. some DEET.
Yep.
According to the specialists, you are only supposed to use 20 to 30% DEET on your skin. That's a do your own research thing, friend. I mean, you do.
Sean's going to grow a third eyeball because he uses 100%.
I don't use 100% on my skin, but I'm going to say I have been known to use more than 30%.
Yeah.
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 I'm a big fan of Picaridin. I have that. I can't remember it now. The don't bite me or no bite
yeah.
cream or whatever. I'm a big fan of that stuff. It has a lemongrass or whatever scent to it, so it's not a overbearing scent like yeah. DEET. And it's safe for the skin. It's safe for pets, all that kind of stuff. So I like putting that on. That's for my skin. That's what I put on me. Clothing, like I said, I do the Picaridin, and then, you know, if mosquitoes or anything are real bad, then I DEET up,
yeah.
you know, things like that. But, yeah.
But, and so then let's talk about clothing-specific things, too. So, I mean, A, treat your clothing and your gear. I definitely think that that helps. But then...
For sure. Yep.
So, you mentioned the duct tape thing, which for anybody that doesn't know or didn't listen to that episode, Mike and I...
Yep.
About upper calf, just below the knee... We'll wrap yep. some duct tape around our legs inside out. So sticky side out.
Yeah, sticky side out. Yep.
I don't know if... I will say it works because we have found ticks stuck to it. That is the whole idea, is that if a tick is crawling up your leg, it will get to the duct tape and then stick to the duct tape and not be able to go any further.
Right.
I don't really know what to tell anybody as far as what if the tick crawls up inside the duct tape, like behind on the smooth side.
Right.
So right. you're not going to catch them all, but you're definitely going to catch some because we right. have caught some.
Well, so we have caught some on the duct tape. If they go under the duct tape, the shorts, or well, the pants that we have worn in the past are the convertible pants that zip off. So the bitch of those is that they have that fold to cover the zip. But typically the ticks also get stuck in that fold.
Right.
Like they can't go around it, so they either get stuck on the duct tape or on that fold, and then when you peel that fold back, you just grab your duct tape and
yeah.
kind of pick them up and stick them to it. So that's the part of the benefit of those pants. I'm really getting sick of all the crevices where ticks have been found, though.
But then the other thing that we do in conjunction with that is tuck the pant leg into your socks so that they yep. can't climb up your pant leg. And then next section up, tuck your shirt into your pants so that they can't.
Well, that's not to prevent them to go up your pant leg. It's so they can't get to down into your feet or like can't get to your directly to your skin. Well, yeah, I guess up yes, your pant leg. Up you're your right. Leg. I'm sorry. I'm out. Yeah. They're on the outside of your pant
yes,
leg. They're not on your leg.
Yes. Misunderstanding of the phrasing that I yeah. use. But yes, it's so they can't get up the inside of your pant leg to crawl up your leg.
Yep.
They're stuck yes. to the outside of the pant leg.
Yes.
But then the other thing that I would say, too, even in conjunction with both of those things, I also recommend wearing lighter colored stuff.
Lighter or brighter, yeah.
I would, for sure. That doesn't necessarily prevent the ticks from getting on you, but it does make it so you can at least see them easier. So
lighter yeah, colored ticks are typically pants, a darker color.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So you can easily see and easily find those ticks. You're not like searching for them quite as hard as if you had like a dark colored pant or dark colored socks or all those things that go with that.
Right. Which we're both guilty of. We have our navy and black pants. We have, you know, like we're guilty of not necessarily following that, but it's hard to find light colored pants that look good.
Well,
I mean, you want to be a little bit of fashionable.
But my new bug off pants that are permethrin treated, those are khaki. So that is a lighter color than the dark ones that I used
to
wear.
That is lighter colored. Okay. Yep. Fair enough. So from that, I mean, that's pretty much how to kind of prevent, that's your pre-hike prevention.
Yeah.
Like spraying up, getting your clothing prepped and getting your skin prepped, whatever. What do you want to do during your hikes or once you get done with your hike?
So we have mentioned this before too, but worth repeating. I mean, periodically, but at least when you get to camp or you get done with your hike for the day, you're going to want to do a full body check.
Oh yeah.
Like full body tick check, paying attention to your scalp, paying attention to like your hot spots basically is where you want to keep, pay really close attention to. So like behind the knees, in your armpits, in your elbows, you know, down in your shoes, like between your toes and things like that, in your groin, in your waistband, in your socks, like all of those like real traditional hot spots. And what I would say is if you are not comfortable having a friend assist you with those tick checks, or if you are solo, you're going to want to take a hand mirror, like especially for your hard to reach places that you can't really see good.
Yeah. Or start doing yoga and get very flexible.
Or get real flexible. One or the other. I mean, I think the mirror is the easier choice. I've got a little pocket sized, credit card sized one that I take in our, it's in with all of our first aid stuff, but like that's, I take that with us to, I am not a spring chicken and I am not super flexible. There are areas that I just cannot see with my own eyes. And I will say Mike and I have been pretty good about checking each other over, but even let's be honest, there's some spots on Mike that I don't need to be checking. So
and vice versa. So but I mean, even while we're on the trail, you and I are pretty good about like if I'm leading and you're in the back, you're pretty good about saying, hey, like the duct tape's working, I see three. So at least we know there's three on your duct tape, so we definitely need to do a check.
Correct.
To find, because there's probably a couple in the folds of your pants or under your belt or whatever.
Or we've both stopped each other a couple of times too, depending on who's in front. It's usually the person behind the person that is saying things, but like we've had each other stop like, hey, hold on, you got something on your pants. I want to see what it is. Right. Usually winds up being dirt or schmutz or whatever, but like pay attention to that sort of stuff. Like Mike is saying, it's a good indicator of, well, if you're noticing it while you're on your walk, then for sure, you know, you got to do a thorough tick check.
Thorough check.
When you get to camp.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's every time we stop and we take a break, which we don't take nearly enough of, but it's a good idea to just do a quick check over your backpack, of everything that's either on the ground or is rubbed up against something. Just do a quick check before you get going again. Just say, okay, because the earlier you get it off of you, the better. So
Well, let's put a pin in the earlier that you get it off you, the better, because that gets into a little bit of one of the other topics that I want to talk to. But yes, 100%, the earlier you get it off you, the better. Let's get into that, and then I'll come back to the other thing that I was going to talk about. So, let's talk about, you got one on you. It bit you. Let's say you just got one on you. You don't know if it bit you or not.
Crawling. Yeah.
If it's still crawling around, if it's still moving, chances are it hasn't bit you, because once they bite you, they don't move.
Right.
But, so yeah, if you can catch it while it's still crawling around with you, get it off in one way or another, whether that's just flicking it off.
Duct tape.
Mike and I like to use the duct tape, like you're saying. Turns out if you can get it stuck to the duct tape, it ain't coming back off. So
Right. And then you can just throw in the fire.
But let's say you've got one that bit you. What is the proper way to remove one that bit you?
Well, you and I like to take I think it's called a tick spoon or a tick. It's a tick remover, but you want to go from the behind it and pull it out. If I think that's the correct way, go from behind it. So you get the head and everything out with the body.
Correct.
You don't want to detach the head.
Right.
Right.
That is the big thing. You don't want to detach the head. So you want to pull steady pressure is how I guess I'm going to say it. Steady pressure to pull it upward away from the skin in a fashion that doesn't crush it and doesn't twist it.
Right. Yeah. And you, the steady pressure on, is on your skin. Like if it's on your leg, push down on your skin on your leg and try or go from the butt of the tick towards the head underneath it with this scoop or tweezers, whatever you have. And that way it gets underneath the tick and then gets to the jaws or the mouth, whatever, mm-hmm. and pulls that out of your skin.
Right.
Because they've got like, I made the mistake of looking at their their jaws or whatever, you know, and I mean, they've got some teeth on them. Fuckers. Like they are, they're attaching themselves. So you want to, and that's where all of the chemical or poison or whatever is that can cause disease.
Yeah.
Is right there in their mouth. Right. So you want to make sure you get their head detached because you want the mouth detached from your body.
Correct. And then to the best of your ability, which I know you're out in the woods, you don't necessarily have soap and water, but like if you've got sanitizer or alcohol wipes or something like that, you do want to clean the area that you removed it from to the best of your ability with what you have right. out there to try yeah. to keep from getting infected and to try to kill any bacteria or viruses that it might be trying to transmit to you. You want to clean that area as best you can. Mike and yep. I like to, especially if the tick has bit us, save it. Like we will take a Ziploc bag, save yep. that tick in there just in case. Like just in case you start feeling not well in some fashion or getting a weird rash around that bite or whatever. If you do need to seek medical attention, they're going to want to know what type of tick bit you. Well, right. what better way than to have the tick right there with you? That you can, right. it was this one, you know? So,
yep. The other option, you could take a picture of it.
Yep.
Like, but realistically, if I've got a tick on me, I'm not getting my phone out to take a picture of it. I just want to get it off.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
but then you're going to want to watch for signs of infection or illness. So, like, are you going to get a rash around that where it bit you? Yep. Do you start developing a fever? Do you start mm-hmm. feeling joint pain? Do you, I mean, you're going to feel fatigued anyway, but fatigue is a symptom of tick-borne right. disease. So, like, pay attention to how you are feeling. Hopefully, you're fine. If you get it off within the first 24 hours, you should be in the clear. Should be.
Right.
This is not official medical advice. Mike and I are not doctors. But, like, you should be okay if you get it off in the first 24 hours, which is why the daily tick checks are so important.
Right.
But still, watch for symptoms of illness following a tick bite because it could be serious things. And we'll get into specific illnesses here in a second. But the other thing, so, if I can just one last thing.
Yep. Go ahead.
If you do find ticks on your clothing, mm-hmm. one of the tips that I found on the internet was, Mike and I have talked about, we get back to the vehicle and we throw all of our hiking stuff in a plastic bag so that we don't get mud and / ticks all over Mike's car.
Right,
when yeah. you get home, throw your clothes likely in the wash, but then dry them on hot in the dryer.
Yeah.
The hot heat from the dryer should kill any that are still lingering on your clothes.
Right. So what I was going to say is the reason you mentioned not to twist or anything like that, but the reason is if you twist, that can cause them to excrete more of the poison or whatever that could cause the bacteria to or your whatever, and it can cause more infection. You don't want to twist. You don't want to burn. Some people think you should burn them off. That's leeches. That is not ticks.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't burn them off. They're yeah. not big enough to right. burn off. You will right. burn,
you're
yourself.
Burn yourself. some people think covering in petroleum jelly or paint or nail polish will help. Like it might kill them, but that's also going to get into the wound area, and that's going to cause infection as well, and seal any of that
yeah.
bacteria in the, it's going to seal it in rather than helping you get it out. So don't do any of those things. Like, make sure you just, like I said, just the even steady pressure underneath it, pull the head out, and then just clean that infected, well, not the infected area, but clean the wound area, if you want to call it that, and the bite zone, and then just keep an eye on it. You got to keep an eye on that area, and then watch for your symptoms.
If you are going to be a regular person, or even a one-time person, if you're going to be a one-time hiking, backpacking type person, get yourself one of these tick spoons, or they make little specific, they make a whole variety of specialty tools specifically for removing ticks. They are inexpensive. Throw one in your pack. Like, get one of these things specifically made for it. Cause like these little spoons that Mike and I, or that Mike is talking about that we take, they pop the thing right off. Like, it's a great little invention.
They've got the little spoon or the little bowl, so like it pops them off, but then it has a spot to where it just keeps the tick, like right there.
Yeah,
it doesn't just pop it off and it's in the dirt. It just keeps it right in the device.
Yeah,
so
it's a great little device. That's a cheap little plastic thing. They don't cost very much. Get one of those and throw it in your pack.
They don't cost anything. Well, I mean, they cost something, but they don't cost much, and they barely weigh anything.
Right.
Like they take up no space. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't have one.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll put a link to that, one of those, on our website.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll put a link to one of those in the episode description on our website, and possibly on the gear page if I can find a link for a good one. But we'll at least put a picture of what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
So that people can see what it is. Okay, so then let's pretend you had one on you, and you removed it.
Yep.
When do you think is the right time to seek medical attention?
Well, if you encounter any of those symptoms, like you said, if you end up with fever, chills, the headache, muscle joint pain, anything like that, like you said, you're going to be fatigued from hiking all day, but if it's extra fatigue, anything like that, or lasting fatigue, even like after you get back, you're done with your recovery, all that stuff. In some cases, if you develop a rash, or a hot spot around the infected area, like if that just feels warm to the touch, then that definitely go seek medical attention. If you have any kind of rash, especially the bullseye rash, you definitely want to seek medical attention. I mean, I'm not going to say don't be a baby about it, but if it's the first time you've ever been bit by a tick and you're freaking out a little bit, if it's going to put your mind at ease just to go to ReadyMed or whatever, go to ReadyMed. They're not going to turn you away. But, I mean, you're going to pay out of pocket for whatever you got to pay for. But, like, but if it puts your mind at ease because you got bit by a tick and it might be your first time, then sure. I'm not gonna make fun of anybody for going to the ER, or, well, maybe the ER. But if you go to ReadyMed for it, then that's fine.
Well, so
or call your doctor and say, what should I do?
So here's the thing. So I saw a post on Facebook the other day.
Okay.
Of somebody put on there, well, I found a tick on me, so went to the ReadyMed.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I thought to myself, I'm like, I feel like that's excessive. Like, I don't know as though just because you find a tick on you that you should go to the ReadyMed. So, well,
did they just find it on them or did it bite them? Like, that's the question. They said it was on them.
You know, I guess I didn't. I might be misquoting. Maybe it said got bit, like, by one. Regardless, it made me think, like, I don't feel like I would go to the ReadyMed. So I happen to know a couple of people in, like, the medical field adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked one of them. I says, am I wrong? Like, if I get bit by a tick, is the right thing to do is to go to ReadyMed? And the response was, yeah, kinda. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't hurt. Like, if you have the means to go to ReadyMed and you have the funds, especially here in America where healthcare is not free, if you have the funds and you can afford to go, apparently it is not wrong to go. Like, it is actually somewhat encouraged by the medical professionals to rather be safe than sorry.
Yeah, for sure. Because once you start the symptoms of Lyme's, there's no cure for it.
Right.
Like, But if they can get you, if they can catch it and get you on treatment, like it, all the treatment does is kind of keep it at bay.
Yeah.
It doesn't get rid of it, but it keeps it at bay. And if it keeps it at bay before it gets really bad, then that's better than not. So,
so use your own judgment on if you should go to seek medical attention, but I would err on the side of yes versus err on the side of no.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And if all you do, if it's crawling on you, even if it's crawling on your skin, it hasn't bit you, because once it bites you, they stay.
Right.
So if it's just crawling on you and you get it off before it bites you, you're fine. If you don't see anything that's in you, then that's fine. To my knowledge, I've only been bitten by two. Well, I guess I've only been bitten by two because I would have found it.
Hopefully.
hopefully I would have found it. But both were within an hour of two of being in the woods or in the brush where I was and used the proper procedure to get it off. And I didn't seek medical attention right then and there because we were camping and out in the middle of nowhere and didn't want to ruin my fun. So I just said it wasn't on me for that long. I should be good.
Yeah.
So I'll keep an eye on it. If you don't know how long, especially if you don't know how long it's been there.
Yeah.
That's when you should seek medical attention. So,
all right. So then we've kind of been dancing around it, but let's talk about like some tick-borne diseases. Like, what are our options as far as that goes?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I have that. So it depends on the type of tick. Michigan, we primarily have the black-legged, or I think those are the deer ticks. Yep. We have the American dog ticks, and we also have the Lone Star ticks.
Yep.
The deer ticks or the black legged ticks, typically those are Lyme disease carriers.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple that I can't pronounce cause they haven't taken them out of not,
they haven't given Italian them a common
or
name.
Whatever. Yeah. Not Latin. those ticks are typically mostly active from my research April to June and then September to October. So basically all summer.
Yeah.
They're in leaf litter, shaded forest, edges, tall grass, you know, like all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the primary carriers of the Lyme disease. The American dog tick is usually May to July, so early summer. There again, the grassy trails and road edges. They've got the Rocky Mountain spotted fever, which I don't think the dog ticks are as prevalent in Michigan.
I don't think they are.
I know they're, yeah.
I mean, the ones that you and I mostly see are the deer ticks.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've seen a Lone Star tick.
Yep.
Those are usually late spring and early summer. And those have.
So those are the ones with the alpha gal.
Yeah, the alpha gal, the erychlorosis. I'm not even. Yep,
yeah, it's alpha gal. Which, for anybody that doesn't know alpha gal, this is like Mike's worst nightmare. So we've mentioned before that Mike is a meat and potatoes type of guy. Alpha gal is the one that gives people an allergy to red meat.
Yeah, I'd have to be a pork and chicken person. Pork and poultry.
Like get violently ill if they eat red meat, if they get this alpha-gal syndrome. Which is crazy to me that that isn't even a thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be so pissed if I can't have a ribeye anymore.
One of the reasons that Mike and I do the tick checks every single day.
Yep. I'm so pissed.
But
yeah, so, I mean...
One of the things that I guess I just want to mention while we're talking about these diseases and talking about the different tick types and stuff like that, for anybody that doesn't know, the CDC has an awesome online tick tracker type tool that they keep track of where are these different variants of ticks in the United States, Where have there been diseases that are associated with these ticks found? So that is a great tool. That's through the CDC website here in the United States. If you're in the United States and listening, I would highly recommend people check that out before they go, just so that you know what to be on the lookout for.
For sure. And I mean, realistically, like you and I have talked about it before, is that growing up, ticks weren't really a thing. Like, realistically, until my mid-30s, I don't think I really even was concerned about ticks.
I feel like we had, like, in lower peninsula, I feel like we had deer ticks even when we were younger. And then as I've gotten older, those started moving north more and more. Mm-hmm. And then Lyme disease got entered into the state kind of in the same way, where it started at the southern border and then slowly kind of just moved more north and more north and more north. And then that was like all we had for a long time. And not that Lyme disease isn't bad, because that is bad all in of itself. Right. But then we start getting these other ticks coming into the state, and now they're just freaking everywhere, and the winters aren't bad enough to kill them off. So here in Michigan, at least, it's a new thing. It's a hot topic. Mike and I are very not super happy about it. So if you're in an area of the country or area of the world where this is, like, common, sorry, it's new to Mike and I, and we're still mad about it.
It's new to us. It's like, damn it, we had another mild winter. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't mind a mild winter. I don't want it, like, freezing cold, but at the same time, that helps keep the populations lower.
Right.
So. So, I think that's pretty much all I have on my notes, other than just, I mean, do your due diligence and, plan accordingly where you're going. I can't recommend the permethrin enough, like, on your clothing. Like, I really think that's been a really good preventer for us, too.
I can't recommend that enough, and I can't promote enough the importance of doing tick checks at the end of the day,
tick checks,
every
for sure.
single day.
Yep.
I really think those are the key.
Well, and I guess, obviously, yes, do your bodily tick checks, but we've found ticks crawling on our tents.
Right.
Like, make sure if you've got them crawling on your tent after you got to camp and you're set up, usually means you've got a nest somewhere and they're just trying to get to the elevation that they want to be at, so something they can go find something to latch onto. So if you see that, maybe move your tent.
Yeah.
Or at least keep track of how many you're seeing. If you're seeing more than a couple in an hour or more, then definitely move and really do a tick check of all of your gear. So, but it's not just you that you need to look out for, because if you get into your tent and a tick was right on the door and then it brushes on you and now it's in your tent on you and you're just going to bed because you've already done your tick check.
Yeah.
So it's good to be diligent on all of that stuff, too.
All right. Well, if any of our listeners have any tick tips that they would like to share with Mike and I or our listeners, please send them our way. We would love to have any tips or tricks that you have on how you prevent ticks or what you do to navigate this world full of tick-borne diseases. Feel free to reach out. You can reach out to us directly in our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. We're on most of the major socials at seanmikehike, or you can always reach us on our website, seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike and do a tick check.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
That's the best I got. See ya.